Close your eyes and don't try to hide.
Or a silly spook may sit by your side,
shrouded in a dark disguise.
They pretend to terrorize
when we ghosts come out to socialize.
Mail. 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 Mail.
Welcome, foolish mortals. You have stumbled into the graveyard and discovered the Grim Grinning Guys, Walt Disney World Planning Podcast. We are your ghost hosts this evening. I'm Matt.
I'm Derek.
I'm Craig.
Please stay calm. The room is not actually stretching. Go ahead and pull down on those safety bars because we won't be doing that for you. We do appreciate Craig and his assistance in that intro song for you.
For years, I've been doing voiceover, guys, and that's just one of my hidden talents. It's
something you do.
Oh, it's hey, that was seamless. You couldn't even tell I did voiceover, well, could you?
I really couldn't. It sounded like it was the actual song.
I know. I'm that good.
This is episode 53, and as you boys both know...
Boys.
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 As you both know, 53 is a major milestone in any...
Oh, yeah.
That's any movie.
That's a factory standard.
Yes.
Okay.
Boys.
You know, I thought more about that saying that I got to on the last episode.
Oh, no.
I believe it is the candle...
Which saying?
The candle in the wind leads to the wax of the dawn dew.
I don't think that's anything like anything anybody's ever said. Not even a good poet.
One of these things I'm going to say is going to stick. It's going to catch.
I don't think so.
I don't. Not at this point.
This is a special episode. It's our first mailbag episode. And as you heard at the start of the show, and as you saw in the title, it is indeed raining mail here in the graveyard.
Hallelujah.
I don't think I'm gonna get much done on this episode. Like, I can't get over how awesome the title is.
It's fantastic.
I mean, literally, guys, we have been bombarded with questions recently.
We have,
in different avenues, and I mean, there's mail raining from the ceiling right now that the post office has just dumped in here in the studio.
They are getting so mad at delivering so much mail to our studios.
Why does it all say return to sender?
Let's go ahead and start with our first question.
Sorry, I'm not listening.
I think Derek has our first mailbag question here. Derek, what do you got for us?
Okay, this comes from listener Robert. He's emailed us and this asks, how do you know which park to go to on the days that you will be there? Do you follow a crowd calendar?
Robert, thank you for asking your question. It is raining mail, and we are here to rain down an answer on your parade. Is that the correct?
I don't think that has...
Well...
Wrong again.
Like, okay. Like your candle thing.
Craig, how do you pick which parks to go to on what days? First of all, do you use a crowd calendar? We know there are lots out there. Do you use one?
I basically will look over... Josh used to have a very good one at EZWDW, and I would glance over that one and you can go back and look, and history pretty much repeats itself when it comes to Disney parks and where the most crowds are. Mainly, Saturday is never, ever, 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 ever a good idea to go to Magic Kingdom. Always keep that in mind.
Yes.
So usually I start out at Epcot is what I will always do on a Saturday. It's always a go-to. You have to be careful upcoming as things change at Hollywood Studios, as things change at Animal Kingdom, as it already has. So you see an influx of more crowds. But mainly you can gauge the days. And it's what everybody says and has been saying for years and years back to tour guide Mike. Go where they are not. And talking about they are the crowd. So You have to look at some other things. Also, Kenny the Pirate. Isn't that right?
He has a crowd calendar. I think you have to pay to get full access to that.
But you can get a sampling.
Yes. Of one. Touring Plans also offers a best park type of.
And you can thing. Also get the app, their app, to yep. kind of follow that. And again, it's just once you kind of see it, it's not rocket science. You can kind of figure out where the crowds are. And it also changes month by month. So you also want to look back
right.
when you're going exactly.
And special events play a big role. You know, Epcot on a Saturday is good. Unless it's like a Saturday night during a festival season, food and wine, that sort of thing. So,
which is 9 months out of the year now.
Correct.
And a lot of them will say stay away from extra magic hours, but isn't that part of the reason for staying on property is to use the extra magic hours?
Yeah, that's a thing that I'm not big on the magic hours. I know you guys are big fans of
I love the night magic hours. I'm not crazy yeah. about the morning ones.
Yeah. And see, I've got some different views.
Well, let's hear it.
It depends on what you're wanting to do.
D News Views.
Perfect. That's the most sensible thing you've said
tonight. It is. D Newsome. Thank you. Thank you. What a compliment.
Wow.
Concerning extra magic hours, I really enjoy morning extra magic hours because I feel that you can really get a lot done
mm-hmm.
in that one. Even though it's only an hour, I think that morning extra magic hours are less used than evening magic hours.
Yeah, that would be true.
And they don't, I don't think that morning extra magic hours affect crowds as much as evening ones either.
Uh-huh.
If that makes sense.
And see, the reason I view extra magic hours at night is because I feel like the later it is, the more that people like you guys that have young kids, you're already going back to bed.
Yeah.
And taking the kids back to bed. So people like me that have teenagers, we're more likely to stay up later and enjoy that extra time. So,
right.
And plus, I'm a night owl. I'm not a morning person.
And I went, but on our last trip, I went to that extra magic hours and it was pretty, I thought it was pretty busy.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the magic hours at night because you get a different view of the park, but also I'm not looking to cram a lot of stuff in
right.
either. I used to try and get a whole lot done. I guess it wasn't quite as busy as it is now when we first started going. So,
I think another thing to look at, not to turn this into an extra magic hours question, but I think the downside of the evening extra magic hours is that's where everybody goes because everybody's already up. And so if there's one park that's staying open later, everybody's going to go there. Whereas with the morning extra magic hours, it's at the start of the day and you still got all these three other parks that people could start their day at. And so, I've used both of them. I think you get a lot of value in the extra magic hours in the morning, especially at Magic Kingdom, a place that has so many rides. You go to Fantasyland, you can ride five or six rides right. in an hour. See, and that's typically what we do when we use the magic hour because it's just Tomorrowland and Fantasyland open.
It is. And I feel you said Magic Kingdom was a good one. I think Animal Kingdom is the best one for morning.
It's a good one too,
because
yes.
I think you can... If you get an extra magic hour at Animal Kingdom and you skip Pandora for the day,
absolutely, yes.
You could be done at Animal Kingdom in 2 hours if you're not looking to do shows.
Yeah. I mean, you could ride Everest, you can ride the safaris, you can ride Dinosaur all in that first hour.
Plus, there's a real good chance your animals are a lot more active then, too,
yep, yeah.
on the and safari.
So I really like the morning at Animal Kingdom if you're skipping Pandora.
Mm-hmm.
Josh used to typically recommend going to parks the day after they have evening magic hours.
Yes.
And so I tend to do that still.
It's a good rule of thumb.
That he's trained me on. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't really stick to a crowd calendar. I think for us, for as long as you have a plan in place and as long as you're getting there before the park opens, it's hard to go wrong at the same time. I kind of avoid...
Except on Saturdays at Magic Kingdom.
You know, one thing I learned on our December trip when you and I were waiting half an hour to ride Living with the Land at 10 a.m. Yes. is... Epcot did have an evening extra magic hour that day.
Oh, did
and,
they?
I didn't yeah, remember. And that's not something that I really took into account. So I tend to stay away from the parks that have extra magic hours. But at the same time, if you, as long as you know what your expectations are, I don't think it's a bad thing. Avoid Magic Kingdom on Saturdays, as Craig said. I think I would try to avoid Magic Kingdom on Mondays also. I think they're typically crowded on Mondays. But, I mean, the other parks... It's all a matter of what are you looking to accomplish. In the middle of the day, it's going to be crowded everywhere.
Right.
It doesn't matter what day of the week it is. So get as much done in the morning as you can. Come back late at night somewhere. Don't stress out about what days you pick.
And again, go with the park hopper. Yep. I know it's a little extra money, but if you've got a longer trip, it kind of works itself. You can make it worth it.
Right.
So.
And that's what I was just thinking. I've got a park hopper. If you don't have a park hopper, you probably do want to look a little more closely.
Yeah, without park hopper, I would still, yeah. I would go the day after Evening Magic Hours. That's the park I'm going to go to.
Right.
So, Derek,
how does it change for, like you stayed at Bonnet Creek, how does that change how you view?
Well, you're obviously going to, if you're not staying on site, you're going to stay clear of any park that has extra magic hours.
I forgot to say he's staying at Bonnet Creek.
Oh, well, Robert, stay away from any park that has extra magic hours because, again, as an off-site guest, it doesn't benefit you at all. Now, for example, we went to Animal Kingdom on a Sunday. I think a Sunday is a great day at Animal Kingdom because they have a morning extra magic hour the day before. They typically have extra magic hours on Saturday morning. So a lot of resort guests are going to go there on Saturday. So go on the day after. That worked out really well for us. And then we went to Magic Kingdom, I believe, on a Wednesday. Extra magic hours. It might have actually had it that evening, but we'd already planned to leave later in the afternoon. So it's all about what you're looking for. If you're looking to stay all day, bell to bell, don't go to the place with extra magic.
And, you know, I'm a big proponent. When we stood off site, it depends on the age of your kids, but I'm a big proponent for do leave and then come back. If you try to tough it out all day long, by the time you get to night, you're worn out and you don't want to be there, but that's some of the best time to be there. You know, if you stick it out during the day, it depends how many days you're staying there. But if you try to stick it out all day long and be in the same park all day long, those middle hours when the crowds get there and when the heat gets there, it's just going to wear you out and you'll be miserable. So, I mean, whether you have park hopper or not, you can still come back to the same park. You can leave, go back, and the parking is going to be you've already paid for your parking for the day.
One thing that I forgot to mention on RTR last week is that we didn't go back to the room on our Epcot day. We stayed at Epcot all day or until the early evening, and Rachel and Boone took a nap in one of the Interventions building.
Well, that was a very long answer to Robert's question. I hope we answered it. Thank you for listening, those of you at home. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode.
What? No.
And we will.
No, we get more questions.
Oh, that's right. It's raining mail. It's not raining just mail. It's sprinkling mail.
I thought the mailbag was a little bigger than that.
Well, this one comes from Corey, and he asked this. This was back about a month ago or so when he asked this, and we've answered it, but it's a question others may have. Okay, a couple more questions for you guys. We've skipped Epcot the last 2 years because we didn't think the boys would like it as much. We're going this year in October during the food festival. Is it better to sample a bunch of different food there, or do I need to book a restaurant? That's question one. Question two is, what is the best ride there? I've heard Frozen and Soarin'. What do you guys think?
Now, I believe Corey, his kids are around the age. He's got two boys around the ages of 10 and 5 or so.
I think so.
He shared that information with us. Derek, you want to start this one?
We've answered the first question in a Grim, Grinning, Greatest question.
For his family, you're talking about a couple with two young boys. I think I probably would book a restaurant. I would book a sit-down meal. Try to find something that you think your children will like because it's going to give you a break in the middle of the day. It'd be hard for me to tell someone with kids, hey, go around and sample half a dozen different booths just because that's a lot for kids to kind of stay with you on. It's pretty time consuming. And, you know, we kind of talked with Corey some about that back and forth online. And I think a good sit down meal there is not a bad option. In any park for that matter. What do you think, Derek?
I'm kind of torn. Not literally, but
I would say if
the kids are adventurous eaters, I would say hit the food booths.
Yeah, if they're into that. Yeah.
But if they're not and they need something chicken nugget route or something like that, then I would lean towards pizza at Via Napoli or something like that. And I know that's not chicken nuggets, but I mean,
or even just do
more general.
Even just do a quick service meal.
Yeah. You
know, doesn't have to be a snack. I mean, doesn't have to be a big formal sit down.
Because a sit down place is going to take you an hour to an hour and a half minimum.
And it's going to be much more expensive, too.
It is.
Something to keep in mind.
So, if they're adventurous eaters, I would say go in and hit the food booths. And even if you decide not to do, even if you do some food booths for you and then maybe just kind of snack around for them.
Yeah.
Get them a school bread. Take that, Junior. How you like that pudding?
Nice. Boone approved.
Boone approved. I don't know that the school bread would be, but.
What about you, Craig? What would you say?
I think that it depends on how much you want to spend. I think you can do some sampling and get some full meals for you and your family by sampling through. But if you're willing to spend a little bit more, there's some great places to eat all over Epcot, especially, you know, for the kids. So it depends on what experience you're wanting. I definitely say at some point you need to go around and sample all the food from the world. But, you know, in this case, like you said, Matthew, with the little ones, I would probably just book a restaurant and go with that route.
All right. And the best ride at Epcot?
Best ride at Epcot is what he asked. He well, said he's heard of Soarin' and
Frozen?
Frozen, but what did we think? And again, considering the ages of the children.
I think we've answered this before. I'm going to say Soarin'.
Negative. You're wrong.
Of course I am, Derek.
It's a test track.
I am.
I was going
to
say,
for two boys at that age, 10 and if they're 10 and 5, if that's their true ages. We'll have to get that verified.
If you really are what you say you are.
I would really say Test Track would be the best ride for that particular age group.
I would have to concur with Derek. Of course, I mean, you want to ride Soarin'. The kids will love Soarin'. You got to go ride Frozen. The kids will love Frozen. You got to love.
Would they?
I think so. I think it's something you got to experience. But I'm saying the best ride's for a boy 5 and 10, Test Track. There's no question about that. I think you're right on that.
Sorry. If it was original Soarin', if it was Soarin' over California,
I think
I'd probably still go Test Track.
The best ride is Club Cool.
It is.
Here's one from listener Mandy. Do you have to have a reservation to eat at Beaches and Cream if you just want ice cream? Thank you, Mandy, for that question. And Derek, you want to shed some light on that one?
I do. If you're technically, yes, is the answer. If you're wanting to get it in Beaches and Cream. In the Beach Club area, they do have a walk-up ice cream window. But I'm not sure. I would imagine it's the same ice cream served in Beaches and Cream. But I don't know that they will have the specialty ice cream. Like the No Way Jose.
I've eaten there as well. I think it's worth it's relatively inexpensive. It's worth just making a reservation. If you can get a reservation, they're kind of hard to get.
It is because it's so small.
But yeah, over there at the Beach Club, it's a cool little place. It takes you back in time. Sit down, have you a meal, get you some ice cream too.
Here's a question from...
But what if you're in that area though, I would probably go on over to Ample Hills instead.
I would go with that, yes.
Because I've had both, and I would, if you're just looking for a high quality ice cream, without any kind of, if you're just wanting the ice cream, go to Ample Hills instead of the window.
I disagree. I like the No Way Jose.
But I don't think you can get that at the window though.
Way more.
I enjoyed the No Way Jose, but I'm saying, if they don't want to make a reservation, I would bypass the window.
I could bypass the window and go for an ooey gooey.
But if she's willing to make the reservation,
well,
to get the kitchen sink.
I get it. Tomato, potato.
Very close. Different fruits and vegetables.
This question comes from Tyler Price. All right, excuse me. This question comes from listener Tyler. He said, I've heard you pretty much have to present your child to get a rider swap. They're tightening that up. Did y'all go by flight of passage on your rope drop morning, or did you and the boys go straight to Navi River Journey? In December, they weren't real tight on it, so just checking for planning on that. So just trying to decide if you have to present the child for the rope drop.
In my experience, you do have to present the child.
than mine, too. I think it more or less depends on the ride.
I don't think I've even ever tried to do it without presenting the child. I've never even attempted that.
I haven't. I've been, I think the furthest I've been is like 50 feet.
Oh, that's pretty
It's pretty far, but I just kind of wave my hand at them.
Uh-huh.
And I have the stroller in front of me. So I guess if you did that, you could just have the stroller in front of you.
Just walk up behind some person with a stroller.
Just kind of find somebody that's walking real slow with a child.
Yeah.
And now, then throw your hand up when they get up there.
No, I will say this. I don't
Sorry,
think,
Tyler. I'm not helping.
Like, for example, on when we went just a couple months ago, we had both the boys in the stroller. And I think I mentioned on my recent trip rundown how many people passed us because we had the stroller. Had I allowed Sissy, or had I taken the stroller toward Navi River Journey, I could have met her at the entrance of the queue, and it would have saved us some time. So they don't have to necessarily stay with you through the long, lengthy, sure. extended queue. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, I think it's very in very poor taste to try to get a rider swap if sure. you have no proof of child.
Thank you, Tyler, for that question.
Thank you, Tyler. Do we have any more? I mean, goodness, at this point, we're just wading through mail. It's been a flood. It's flooding mail.
It's flooding mail. Guys, here's a question from someone who was just at Disney, and this is a quick question, but I think it's something that may help other people out. This was Kaylee, and she said, serious question, guys. What's the quickest way to get from Magic Kingdom to Hollywood Studios?
Bus.
It's the only way.
Well, I'd suggested to go over to Epcot, and then you could walk over through.
Okay, so it's not that simple.
It still is. I'm pretty sure it's still the bus.
I mean, the bus would probably be the quickest, but it depends on
what. What's her question?
What is the quickest way to get from Magic Kingdom to Hollywood Studios?
The quickest is definitely just going to be walk to the bus stop and wait for a bus.
Well, I told her that, but also said that you could... I said, no, actually, the quickest is minivan.
Or Uber.
And I said, cheapest. Yeah. I said, the only other is bus, unless you monorail to Epcot, then walk over through International Gateway. Or take a boat from Epcot. That's not the quickest, but that's other options.
I would say that would be for experienced travelers to the to Walt Disney World.
Right.
Because I don't think they go every couple years, so they're pretty experienced, really. So
yeah.
But I think they hit everything hard, kind of like you do.
Well,
country
just
there.
Real quick, if we're going to talk about that, what's the quickest way? From Magic Kingdom to any other part, the quickest way is probably, unless you're going to Epcot, it's probably a bus. Or a minivan if you want to pay for it. Or Uber. Correct?
Correct.
All right, quickest way from from Epcot to other parks.
Well, from Magic Kingdom, it's monorail.
Okay.
Walk to Hollywood Studios.
Okay.
And, yeah, it would depend on how lucky you get with bus service.
I still think it'd just be walking from Epcot to Hollywood Studios.
It's only like a 5-minute ride, though.
Yeah, but
I'm just saying, if you got lucky with a bus.
But you don't know you're going to get lucky.
Listening to me at all?
It depends on where. But it depends on where you're at in Epcot. Are you in the World Showcase?
Yeah.
Then just walk.
That's true.
If you're up at Spaceship Earth, well, maybe go hop a bus. What kind of physical condition you're in also makes sense. So if you're going to Hollywood Studios to Epcot, I would say walk. If you're going to Hollywood Studios to Magic Kingdom, bus. Hollywood Studios to Animal Kingdom, bus. Bus.
Okay. Hollywood Studios to anywhere is what you're
Disney
saying?
Springs?
Yeah.
Now, Disney Springs.
After 4.
I don't know anything about Disney Springs, I don't know why I'm talking about it.
After 4, you can get on a bus from the parks to
and go to Disney Springs. But you can't get to the parks from Disney Springs.
I don't think so.
Another reason to not go to Disney Springs.
And finally, Animal Kingdom.
There's no good way to get to Animal Kingdom. Sorry.
Buses.
Yep. That's just the only way.
Take that bus.
So that was a good question. It expounded into lots of other questions go along with it. So, again, minivan is probably your most efficient,
at what,
quickest.
$25 a pop?
Yes, but it's not the cheapest.
Yeah, they've already gone up.
The express Uber. Transportation was awesome.
Uber?
Yes, the express transportation. You
could probably Uber. I think you could Uber pretty much anywhere on property.
I'm still sad they got rid of express.
$10 at most, if you can find the locations too. Okay, I have a question from listener Tara, or Tara, some people may know her as.
I think it's Tara.
She should have been on a rich and famous show.
That's right. She asked, does Southwest give a refund or flight credit if price drops after you have purchased your tickets? And that answer is, yes, they do. It is. It seems a little harder than it really is, but we just went through this for our trip in July, and I'll let Craig talk about that. So.
No, I just, I had no clue, and Derek said, hey, we just got $20 back on our trip, which was like 1,400 points, and I had never done that before, and Derek told me about it, and so actually, you need to explain it, Derek,
because
you told me how to do it, but it's really easy. Once you explained it, it was easy to find it, easy to do it.
Yeah, for Southwest, if you find that it's cheaper after you've purchased, all you have to do is go in and make the change, like you're going to change your flight, and I just go back in. You just go and select the same flight that you had previously, and it'll credit your account for that much.
And that's all you have to do.
I can't remember it. Yeah, that's it. I can't remember on the credit card if they give you, they don't put it back to your credit card. I think you get credit on your next flight.
That's probably correct.
I think you have to use the flight within the year or two.
Right, and it's got it does have a...
For your points, though, you automatically get that back.
Yeah, the points, they do refund you.
Yep.
That's strictly a Southwest question, though.
Here is a question back from... I think, do we want one more question to get today? I mean, we can't get to all the questions because it's literally raining mail. Have we told you that yet?
We'll have to save some for another episode.
Okay. So here's our last question for the day. This is from way back when. This is from Andrew. Love the show. My daughter will be 3 soon. What's the best age for her first Disney trip?
I don't think we're good people to answer this.
That's true. Any age.
Craig would probably be better because actually Boone's first trip was 6 months.
But, you know, actually that's a great question because I just had this discussion yesterday with I just had a discussion yesterday with a guy, and he was asking me the same question. And I said, well, our first trip with our children, we decided when they were 5 and 10 because we wanted them to remember it.
Uh-huh.
But since that time, I've kind of my thoughts have changed on that because you guys have kind of shown me a different side of that because it is so much cheaper to go earlier. Now, 5 and 10, yes, both my kids remember the first time we went, and they remember what all we did, and or maybe not all of it, but parts of it. But you guys have the pictures and everything to show the kids, but it's a whole lot cheaper. So explain that.
Yeah, I mean, Boone's been, half a dozen times, maybe more?
5.
And, you know, he hadn't had to pay for his dining. You hadn't had to pay for his park ticket. You hadn't had to pay for his flights up to this point.
Actually, we do pay for some of his dining. We do get him kids' meals sometimes.
Oh, well.
If he's
But that's a choice. I mean, you don't have to.
But, like, if you were on a dining plan, you wouldn't have to,
to
pay for that. So, under 2, they fly free. So, I think that's important. And Sissy and I talk all the time, you know, once our boys are both over the age of 3, we're going to start going much less frequently because it's costing a lot more. So, you can't – people say they can't remember it, but the same – I mean, in that moment when they're meeting Mickey Mouse for the first time – it's hard to top that. When they're riding a fun ride, Dumbo or the Magic Carpets or Pooh, you know, you can't put a price on that. And again, we live in an age where you can take pictures, you've got Memory Maker, you can take tons of video. And Bruin and I and Sissy and Keegan, we watch those videos all the time. Like, that's what they want to watch when we're riding for long distances in the car, is those Disney videos that we've made. So I don't think there is a perfect age, but
it's a different experience at every age.
And that's kind of what I was going to get to is just they're seeing things differently every time. You're getting to see how they see it every time. It's always different. It's always a new experience.
And as I've said in some of our first episodes, I've enjoyed watching my kids grow through Disney. Yeah. I look back at the pictures of when they were 5 and 10 until now when they, you know, are 14 and 18, 14 and 19, actually, and see the pictures of them standing in the same place in front of the castle, in front of the spaceship Earth, you know, and see those pictures and just makes you enjoy Disney that much more because you've seen actually your kids grow in front of you. But I think there's benefits to all those ages. But like you said, you've got the pictures, you've got all the things, the memories that you will never replace of those times there. So there's not really a perfect time to take your kids. Any time's a good time to take your kids to Disney and experience that time together as a family.
And my advice, Andrew, is if your daughter's turning 3 soon, go before she turns 3. Yes. So you don't have to.
But, and especially to pay. When she turns 10, she's becoming an adult at Disney.
That's right. What do you say, $15 on a kid's ticket?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you, listeners, for your questions. We're going to try to swim out of here in a few moments. There's just so much mail. Handwritten mail, letters.
And, okay. And you know, guys, the question is, why are these people still mailing stuff to us?
What
they email?
When you'd think these people would email us or text us or
put it on one of the social medias. I don't know.
It's time for a segment. You and
the segment.
This
is the longest running segment on our show.
That's true. It is the longest running segment. It's time for
Gritty.
really got
that
excited.
That was fancy.
He got excited.
I think it was the singing.
I think it's because you told him it's the longest running segment.
We're like Hoop-Dee-Doo review.
Mm.
Except, okay, maybe not.
Guys, I think this is my question. Andrew just asked us what would be the perfect age for his daughter to go to Walt Disney World, and we answered that question. But my question for you is, what if you go back and pick your age, the first time you ever went to Disney, what age would you want that to be? And it would have to be the age of that year. I think.
Does it have to be in your lifetime?
Well, you'd have to be alive.
Okay.
Well, so that I would say yes. Yes,
because I was teetering on the opening day.
It needs to be in your lifetime. Like if you wanted to go when you were 10.
Gotcha. Craig, when was the first time you went to Walt Disney World?
I think it was 78 or 79. I think I was 4 or 5 years old was the first time I ever went. I still remember some of that. I've got some pictures. I think the next time we went, and I had some pictures of me and my brother actually in the gallows is what they call it.
Yeah.
Over there in front of Liberty, right there in Liberty Square.
Yeah.
And then I also had a picture of my two kids in the same gallows. Me and my brother were in the gallows.
That's awesome.
I took a picture of them in gallows. And I remember it very, very clearly, and I think that's a perfect time. You know, 6, 7, 8, around that time. Just old enough, but not too old, just to kind of get started. But then, if I could go back to that, I would love it. I mean, I know they didn't have near what's there now. You know, there's no Hollywood Studios, no Animal Kingdom. But, again, I'm the nostalgia guy on the show, and I just love Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
And I loved everything about it that was there, and I love everything
so
about it.
So you would not change your first visit?
I probably wouldn't, no. Yeah. I would still ride all the stuff I rode then. I remember riding Toad's Wild Ride. I remember riding the submarines. I remember riding Haunted Mansion, all those things. So I would love to go back and do that again.
For me, I first went in 1990. I was almost 4. Went with my parents for about 3 days. I was too scared to ride much of anything. I think my dad told me I was too afraid to go inside Spaceship Earth because I was afraid of what was going to happen. I don't know. I was a wimp. What can I say? Not much has changed, gentlemen. But, I mean, I don't think I would change it either because, I mean, I was young, but I still have these mental images of the parade on Main Street, the afternoon parade, and Pirates of the Caribbean and Jungle Cruise. I still remember walking around World Showcase, and we have pictures. I mean, I'd hate to say that I'd wish it had been delayed, but I don't want to go any younger because I wouldn't remember anything. But if I had to change it, I guess I would go in 1998 when Animal Kingdom first opened. I would have been about 12, and I would have been old enough to where I would have ridden all the major rides. But no, I mean, I don't think I'd change. I think I'd go at the age of 3 in 1990. So I got to meet the Ninja Turtles. They were in Hollywood Studios, I remember. I was a big Ninja Turtle, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fan, and that was cool. What about you, Derek?
Oh, My first trip was in 1997 on a one-day Magic Kingdom trip.
Uh-huh.
On our senior trip.
Nice.
So that was one of the last years I think our county allowed us to take senior trips.
It was.
You ruined it, Derek.
We did not get any trouble. And I still remember this. We had the choice of going to one of the three parks that was open. Like Matthew said, Animal Kingdom didn't open until 98. So everybody went to Magic Kingdom except for one guy went to Epcot. And he had to have a chaperone.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I don't know why, but
wise man, I will say.
He was age beyond his years,
Was the chaperone angry that they had to go to Epcot?
You will know the chaperone, Mr. Bruce Jackson.
Really?
Yes.
Well, then I know Mr. Jackson well, he enjoyed Epcot.
I'm pretty sure that's who it was.
Shout out to Mr. Jackson. We know you're probably not listening, but yes. Hey. I teach two doors away from him now.
He may have asked the kid to go.
He might have. So, but I would change my first visit.
And when would that be?
Because I was 18 on my first visit.
Uh-huh.
So, I think I would probably go back about 6 years to 1991.
Why 91?
It's just because I think I would have been 12 then.
Yeah.
I think that would have been, like you were saying, just a good age to kind of get into it. And at that age, I was probably more into the thrill rides and all. So I don't know that I would like a whole lot of what Magic Kingdom offered at that time.
Uh-huh.
But I would have gotten into the love of Disney sooner. Because my love didn't really start for Disney until 2013 when you convinced us to go.
Well, and you think back, if you could go back and because I had a big span there from where we didn't go to Disney to where we're going all the time and to fill that gap. But you go back to thinking when I was a kid going to Disney, how much different the parks are now. The rides are so much more different. You know, at Magic Kingdom, it was more or less just dark rides
right.
And not real, you know.
And a few different things in Tomorrowland. That's what I would enjoy that too, I think. Because Tomorrowland seems to be the most changing land, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, Craig and his nostalgia.
Got us going.
He did. Well, I think this has been a fun episode and definitely had one of the best intros we've had.
The 50th was pretty impressive.
That was. Oh, man. Another milestone indeed. Well, gentlemen, if that is all, if you have a question that you want answered, send us a letter. Send us a telegram, send us an email, text, or anything.
I'm pretty sure Santa's the only one that gets letters anymore, like you said.
And us.
Just send us something on social media.
Or social media. That'll work, too.
That would be the easiest.
And listeners, be safe out there, which is why we tell you to
beware the hitchhiking ghosts.
And hurry back.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your company.
Mail. 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 Mail.
Welcome, foolish mortals.
I'm dying.
Are we recording?
Yeah.